Hey there! Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Todd Clint's SharePoint Podcast number 309, recorded live Monday, October 10th, 2016. I am the good-looking one. I'm Todd, your host today. Go ahead and introduce yourself, not good-looking one.
Wait, so am I supposed to do something crazy? I mean, show 309, and you started with, hey there. That's the first for that. So I'll go, howdy, folk.
Please have something better for next week. Hey, we'll work on something a little better. Tell the nice folks who you are.
Oh yeah. So my name is Shane Young. I am part of a 12-step program, have to hang out with Todd for 1 hour a week to do these shows and generally just be abused. This is community service at its finest. So you're welcome.
As part of the 12-step, is this the part where you try to make right all the wrongs you've done to people? You try to make amends? Is that the step you're on and why you're trying to help me out?
This is where you take a less fortunate person and you move them forward in life.
Are you sure it's not the recognizing a higher power part and that's me?
No, this is yours. Anyway, what are we supposed to be doing here? I don't
know. As we've called it, completely off script, we are now two bullet points into the notes. Yes, folks, there are notes, and we've already completely blasted it all. Before we go too much further, Rackspace is still the ones footing the time and bill for all this, so thanks to those guys. Go to sharepoint.rackspace.com. That's where I work. You can email me, todd.clint@rackspace.com, Twitter at toddclint, all that stuff. Shane, tell the nice folks how they can get a hold of you to tell, so that if they want to tell you what a great job I'm doing, how do they do that?
Right there at the Bold Zebra. You see that nice little thing I got there? You can hit me up at boldzebras.com, and you can always find me on Twitter at Shane's Cows, or on YouTube at a really long URL that I will not bother trying to give you, and I'll just tell you to go to my Twitter link and you can get to YouTube from there.
Yeah, we need to, I've got the short URL stuff on my blog, obviously. And I need to work on something. You and I need to sometimes sit down and play with the URL rewriting stuff that comes with IIS, because there are a bunch of places that need that. And I'll set one up for you so you can create some short URL and pop over to the YouTube channel.
ToddClint.com/ShaneIsAwesome, straight to my YouTube link.
I hadn't quite had that in mind. We can work on some of those details. Production notes. As far as I know, I am all caught up with podcasts as of this afternoon at about 2 o'clock central-ish, I would say. Everything's already out there. Getting some notes in the chat room that the YouTube thing is hung. That is a bad thing.
Well, of course, anybody's... people joined.
Yeah. They're blaming it all on you.
Tis, tis.
Lori's typing. I'm curious. It's not hung for Lori.
No, if it's not hung for Lori, we should probably power through, huh?
Yeah. That brings up another thing. I've noticed that this was a lot more flawless until we started bringing other people in, and it seems to have broken down. So what I'm getting to long abouts is, Shane, this is all your fault. But other production notes, I'm all good. All caught up. So we'll move on to the topics again, trying to be good about Monday nights is apparently Shane's night to go to Chick-fil-A and rub my nose in it. And so try to be respectful of Chick-fil-A night at the Young household. We'll jump on to the topics. The first topic, and this is something that Shane and I were going to talk about before the show, but I thought the rest of you would enjoy this conversation as well. Shane, you are a whole week into being an iPhone owner. How's it going?
I kind of like it. I don't know what else to say. I think last week I was on the 6, and I just decided that was not cool enough. So I went back. They had a 7 Plus in-house, so I went ahead and got a 7 Plus. So I am cutting edge, leading tech.
So you had that headphone jack for like all of a couple of days, and you're like, I just can't operate with this thing. It's taking too much space. It offends me.
Yeah, I wanted the fake speaker jack. Apparently this jack is the fake speaker jack where they put it in there just to make me feel good. But it's been pretty interesting. Obviously there've been some learning curves along the way. Things are a little different than Windows Phone. I still think Windows Phone is a better actual OS phone software, but the apps are, it's crazy. You know, I used to spend all day on my Windows Phone in Internet Explorer or Edge or whatever stupid browser they were forcing me to use. And it was always this weird experience. I've probably used Safari like 2 times. It's different. Now they're posting pictures of me in the chat room. I don't know what that's all about. Todd's muted. Still muted. Can't hear you. Word you're saying. Nope.
Oh, how about now?
Yay.
I was getting ready to say a profanity. That's why it came on.
Ah.
I had the same thing when I had Android and then went to Windows Phone and came back. I feel exactly the same way. I got out of Windows Phone before the 10.0 OS came out. That had some edges I didn't like. But the Windows Phone OS itself, I much preferred. Even to this day, there are pieces of it that I like. But there's no apps. There's nothing. And the apps make all the difference in the world.
It's crazy. I will give them kudos where it's due, and that battery life on this thing is spectacular. I don't know how else to explain it.
Haven't charged it since you got it?
Maybe twice. And I play a lot of stupid phone games. And so there's one phone game that was on both, right? It was one Windows Phone game. And I mean, that thing, yeah, shut up. It, in an hour, maybe an hour and a half, it could pretty much take the whole battery, right? It was just too much. The phone would get really hot, want to burn my hand. Play that same game on there and nothing. It uses like 10% of a battery in an hour. Phone never gets hot. That little stuff, I've been pretty impressed with that portion of it anyway.
And there are a lot of Samsung Note 7 users that would prefer their phone not get hot in their hand too. So maybe they should move over to iPhones.
Yeah, not explode.
Yeah, I got the Samsung 7 before the ones that exploded came out. I didn't get that option.
Ah. Well, and they also, I've got the 7 Plus. So I've got the dual camera, so it's got two different lenses.
Right.
That's very reminiscent of my 1020 from the experience of how well the cameras worked. So that's made me happy. And that was the thing. I went back in there and I was like, all right, so I want a 7 versus a 6. And guys, I was like, sell me a 7. The guy's like, he led with battery life. I'm like, ooh, I like battery life. And then he followed it up with camera. I was like, you can stop talking. Yeah. Those were my scratches.
It was a lot of time here.
Yeah. So been impressed. Just got a new case today. I've been struggling with a case that I like. This one's kind of got like a little wallet kind of built into it. Try it out. I don't know.
Yeah. I hate cases for my phone. And after I got my 7, about a month after I got my 7, I dropped it and shattered the screen. And turns out I hate replacing screens even more than I hate cases on my phone.
Yeah. Well, the Nokias were always tanks, right? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I dropped those things and finally I broke one. Yay.
Yeah.
But these things I've always heard are a little more fragile. So I just started with a case. I'm like, I am not going to buy another $760 or whatever the hell that was.
Yeah, so. You're a smart man. Well, I'm glad that it's working for you. We'll have updates for the next couple of weeks as you make your transition from having Windows Phone to having a real phone that actually does some stuff.
It's weird, and the battery's good. Tip I learned that I showed someone with the phone, the fingerprint sensor, you can do more than one finger. Most people don't realize that. So I've got both my right and my left because, like, when I'm eating and stuff, I like to use my left hand to do it. So,
gotcha. Shouldn't, yeah. I've not tried that on my Samsung. I've got my right thumb. I don't know if I can do my left thumb on that. I find I use that all the time, though. The little fingerprint thing.
Yeah, I thought hello was nice with the eyes, but the eyes kind of smile and stare at it and, you know, do this number.
Yeah.
Whereas just grabbing this and just touching it, I'm like, oh, look, it's open. Ha ha. So.
Yeah. All right. So enough of that. So next topic, one of the things I wanted to mention. Sure, was that I have been doing some moonlighting. Well, not really moonlighting. Uh-oh. I've done this before, but I wrote an article for Petri.com. That's Brad Sams, Paul Thrott, Jeffrey Hicks, Tony Redman, all those guys. Met up with them a little bit at Ignite, hung out with them, and they asked me again to do some stuff for them. And wrote an article about Minroll and what it's going to bring to Feature Pack 1. I kind of did that because I'm also planning on writing an article for them about the Feature Pack, and I didn't want to put all the Minroll stuff in that article, so I thought I would write the Minroll article and then reference it in the next one. So they're good folks. I also talked to them a little bit about helping out with the podcast a little bit, maybe some of the production, get that out there to a wider audience, maybe get Shane fired. There are a lot of different pieces in the works on that. But you can go out to petri.com. That's P-E-T-R-I.com. And the name of the article is Mineral Improvements in SharePoint 2016 Feature Pack 1. And I'll probably blog this too, just to get it out there too.
Well, make sure you tell those guys if they want someone to write actual quality content. I'd be happy to, you know, sit down and write something for them.
I don't know why I'd lie to them though. I mean, they seem like decent folks, and I don't know why I would just look them in the eye and just deceive them. That doesn't seem right.
I did install Grammarly, right? So now I can actually write stuff, and it adds commas for me and things. So, you know, my language has moved up quite a bit.
That reminds me of our friend Andrew Connell. He was telling us a story. I don't know if you were there for this one or not, Shane, but he was talking about how he hates people talking to him on airplanes. So if people try to strike up conversations, he always makes up really weird jobs to shut him down. And so he was telling us once at a conference that the guy sitting next to him on the plane had been chatting with him and asked what he did, and an AC said he was a professional spell checker. And so the guy's like, spell checker? He's like, my computer's got that built in. And he leans over to the guy. He's like, oh, those things are crap. It's like, I do a much better job than those. He completely sold the guy on it. And like, how do you have a conversation with a guy that is so bland that his job is professional spell checker?
See, now I'm the opposite. I'd be infatuated. Like, let's dive into this. Let's really understand how you spell check differently than my computer does.
Yeah. So I had no idea, because I mean, Word and all those, they do grammar. So I had no idea there was another program that does all of that as well.
Yeah, so Grammarly, and they have a free version. It's always on my YouTube ad, so I finally decided I'd try it out. And it integrates with Chrome. It kind of sucks to integrate with the other stuff. But so like when I'm tweeting from Chrome or YouTube, you know, descriptions and comments or blog posts, it just gives me a nice little interface built right in. And, you know, I do feel like an idiot for using it from the standpoint, hey, I'm admitting it, so yay me. But like today I got my weekly report and it's like, hey, you know, you have a better vocabulary than like 99% of the people that use it. I'm like, yes, because I just don't understand commas, right? I can speak, I understand how to use language. So I'm assuming most, you know, the 12-year-olds that use it have a better vocabulary than most of them. So yay me.
I weep for our country if that's the case.
Kentucky education, buddy. Kentucky education.
So anyway, go out, read my article with its grammar. Now I have to check that out. So you, Shane, for last week's notes, we ran out of time. You wanted to talk a little bit about the Azure PowerShell modules. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so they were released, 2 weeks ago? I think like the 28th or something. The 3.0 edition of the modules came out. And, you know, as thinking about it, I was like, hey, you know, if you're going to do Azure, one of the promises of the cloud is automation, and PowerShell is part of that. So for me, one of the main things I've been doing, like with making my videos and stuff, is, you know, I have a SharePoint 2013 farm I built in Azure, right? I documented all that, but I didn't want to get rid of it. So I put it in its own resource group, and then I like to just be able to log into Azure and press a button or run a PowerShell script that turns all my VMs. And then when I'm done for the day, press another button, turns off all my VMs. So the Azure PowerShell stuff, you know, that was what drove me there. It turns out there's also a test dev lab feature that can do some of that in an automated fashion for you. But that was, it's back to the way we taught people to do SharePoint PowerShell. Remember we said, hey, find something you do in central admin by clicking the buttons and go learn to do it in PowerShell. So I knew how to do this on and off stuff in the portal by clicking the buttons. Turns out you can do it with PowerShell.
Yeah, and I have not checked your link, but So yeah, that is okay. I'll have to read that. There's a lot of words on that page. I actually ran into a case myself where I needed that module today, and it reminded me very much of this. So I'm sure there are just scads and scads of things that this adds to the PowerShell thing. But for Rackspace, and I hope I'm not giving away too much of our security stuff, we have two-factor auth, and we're not using the Azure AD two-factor auth. We've got a third-party two-factor auth. Our Azure tenant is federated with that, so I don't log into Azure. I log in against this thing. But then one of the side effects of that is I can't use PowerShell because I can't, you know. And so this came up months ago when we were working with Azure. And when I would open up the Azure window, I'd do the connect MSOL service, and it would just give me a Windows dialog box. So, you know, what do I log in as? Because is it my federated thing? Because it's not. And there was just no way to do it. It didn't work. So as we were setting up things for Rackspace's Azure tenant, there was just no way for me to get in with PowerShell and do all these wonderful things that I knew I could do with PowerShell, but couldn't do it. And this 3.0 update adds that. So it's smart enough now. It gives you the instead of giving you like the Windows login box you're used to, it gives you the flat web login box you're used to. And as soon as you type in a federated address, it does the thing that the web does and then bounces back and gives you PowerShell.
Yeah, that's through the, what is it, the login Azure RM commandlet. When you run that, that's what sends you out there. And so what you do is you put in your ID, as you're saying, and you don't even put in your password. You just put in your ID, you hit connect, and then it figures out whether you have a personal a live account or a work Azure account, and then it sends you the right provider from there.
Yeah, so that was one huge improvement. So I actually installed that on my all of my boxes here this afternoon for that one thing. Now, I understand, I haven't read into it completely, but I understand that there is some confusion inside of the module over this, that the 3.0 module isn't backward compatible with all the 1.7 stuff or something. So there's this weird deal where you have to have them both or something.
So I had the 2.0 and the 2.0 or the 3.0 installed on top of the 2.0 without any issue, other than when you install, right? And so there's two modules you have to install. You have to install the Azure RM, which is a resource manager stuff, the new hotness. And then you have to install the Azure, which is the old Azure Service Manager modules. And when you do the Azure one, you actually have to do dash allow clobber to let it overwrite some of the pieces. So I didn't have any problems with 2 and 3. Now, I do know that if you go out to the article that we've got listed there, the Microsoft documentation that I've got the note that says not very good, there is a web installer as well that supposedly will put them side by side and work all this out for you if you're so inclined to have to fight with the different versions.
Yeah, I thought there was some stuff that was in the old one that was not in the new one. Like there were legitimate commands. Like if you wrote a script that worked with 1.7 or 2.0, that they just wouldn't work with 3.0 and you had to have both or something. I would have to read into it to find out for sure. But that is out there. We've got both those links. For those of you listening, you know, in your cars, on your commute, you can go to toddclint.com/podcast309 and we'll have the links to all this to download it and get those. But yeah, you can't do Azure and you certainly can't do Azure at scale without all of this. And if you're an Office 365 person and not even touching Azure, all of your background authentication is Azure. So you need them anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing for us to hit on, remember we had the problem around the whole restricted or remote signed. We probably should have that conversation real quick as well.
Yeah, go ahead and tee that up.
Yeah. And so one of the challenges that I ran into was when you're installing these commandlets, right, you've got to run as administrator. That's pretty obvious, I'd hope. But if by default, Windows 10 sets your execution policy to restricted, and that will not allow the Azure modules to install or run. So actually to use the Azure stuff going forward, you have to use remote signed or lesser or more, I guess, whichever way you want to look at it. You have to have less permissions set to the execution policies. And that was a real challenge for me, right? Creating content, telling people you need to downgrade your security. So I don't know, Todd and I kind of debated this for a little bit. We got the help with Twitter and we don't know. What do you think the final verdict was there, Mr. Clint?
Well, so I had the dissenting view. To fix this, you can change your default execution policy to remote signed. And when Shane and I were talking about this, it occurred to me I'd never stumbled across this because just as a matter of habit, I always set my policy to remote signed. So I would have never caught this. And so for those of you that haven't played with it, remote signed means any PS1 files that you generate locally. So you start the ISE or you start Notepad, Todd's new function.ps1, those run fine without any issue. But if you bring a script from another machine, so download it from the web, copy it over across a network share or whatever, if Windows thinks that script is remote, then it requires it to have a digital signature with a certificate. And that seemed like a good compromise to me. It's always how I've run things. And so Shane and I had this discussion. I tried to put a very vaguely worded tweet out so I wasn't biasing anybody about what it was. But most folks, and I put the PS help thing on it so the PowerShell folks would chime in. Most folks were like, yeah, of course, you know, remote signed is less secure, but the risk is not that great. So it's probably okay.
Yeah, and they pointed out Windows 2012 R2 is remote signed by default now. So they gave up. Windows 10 is restricted by default, but 2012 R2 is remote signed.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought the client OS was remote signed by default and the server OS.
We'd have to go check, but I know that my machine, my Windows 10 was definitely restricted by default.
Interesting. And I just installed a Windows 2016 box last night and I didn't check it. But yeah, so I guess the thing So Shane's right. Restricted is more secure. More secure is better than less secure in most cases, but don't have much concern if you have to do the remote sign thing. I it's never bothered me having that online.
Yeah, you got a note for Azure App Service Companion Preview. I've not read that one. So what's that about, Todd? I'll learn too.
Well, so just this was a small note. So Azure apps are out there. We've seen those. But this is an article about how they're releasing an Android client for those. So you you can manage those in Android. And I kind of wanted, this was kind of talking about the phones and all that. This is another example of Microsoft putting out phone clients on all kinds of platforms. And just, you know, we've often joked that if you installed all the Microsoft apps on Android or iPhone, there's like 20 some or 40 some or something. And this is just another one they're putting out there, but it's more Azure-y things so that you can manage Azure from your tablet, from your phone, things like that. So that was kind of why I wanted to bring that one up.
Sorry, our new fancy microphones, the muting and unmuting is such a, like you have to get in there and like press the button.
Remember like 7 minutes ago when you were making fun of me for it? I was flexing, I had my foot against the wall. So now I'm doing it inside the Hangout. It's much easier. Haven't screwed it up once since then. So Jack in the chat room is asking if we watched the Jeffrey Snover's Pluralsight course, talking about Just Enough Administration or JEA. I have not. So he brings up remoting, which is another good thing. And we don't have time to talk about that much on here, but that's this idea that you can run PowerShell on one machine against other machines. Honestly, you know, Shane, you and I talked a long time ago when PowerShell first came out for SharePoint. We're like, you know, you can't manage all of your servers without PowerShell. You can't manage all of your site collections without PowerShell. You got to have that. Remoting is kind of the next phase of that because we have just more of everything now. We have more farms. We have more servers. And remoting is a way to scale out your PowerShell even better. At Ignite, on the pre-conference session that I did with Bob and Neil and Spence and those guys, Bob did a part on remoting and how they do their patching with remoting and stuff like that. And it's just another added level of efficiency. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, remoting, I wonder if it's, I haven't messed with it. And I mean, when did we talk about it the first time? 5 years ago? You know, and it was like a 17-step process to get remoting to work, all the security fighting and things like that. So I'd be really interested to see, you know, how far is that advanced and how well is it actually all go? I mean, clearly it works, but.
Yeah. So when you and I first started doing it, you had to turn every knob manually. Now there's just a command that does. It's like enable PS remoting and goes down the list and everything's there.
Well, good. I'm lazy. I like easy stuff.
There's still some security things. It's like the whole Kerberos thing that we had with SharePoint, but it's for the most part way easier than it was.
Yeah. Well, and so speaking to Neil, I think there was an Azure and SharePoint article, right, that he just put out a video or something like that?
Yeah, just somebody mentioned an email and stuff that I had that his Ignite session on putting SharePoint on Azure was out on YouTube. And so where that is. So if you guys don't know who Neil Hodgkinson is, Dr. Neil Hodgkinson, he is a senior something Microsoft. Super smart guy, way smarter than Shane, way smarter than me and Shane together.
Stacked on top of each other.
Yes. And so he did a couple of sessions at Ignite about SharePoint, and he is on the Office 365 or Azure team or something like that. You can't get a more definitive source on anything than whatever Neil says. So if you're looking at doing SharePoint on Azure, you know, the IaaS kind of thing, spend some time, watch that on YouTube. You can speed it up. You can, do 1.5 speed or something. Neil is from the UK. So he's got that nice authoritative sounding British accent. So that helps.
Is that what we do? So like when we get pushed in other countries, we sound authoritative. We just sound like redneck Americans.
I sound like an idiot no matter where I'm at. I walk into every room assuming as soon as I open my mouth, it's just the idiot just rolls out. But that was a good one because that's something that you know, a year ago, we all knew people running SharePoint on Azure, but the Microsoft guidance on that was kind of fuzzy. Like they wouldn't tell you you couldn't, but they wouldn't tell you you could. And it's good now to see you know, people with blue badges coming up and saying, yes, it can be done. Here's the way to do it. Things like that.
And I look forward to watching that session. I've read a lot of their documentation that they have out there on it, and it's all, you know, it's 6 months old, which in Azure terms is forever. So it's, you read a lot of that stuff and you're like, that's not how I would do that today. It's, you know, it's lots of, here's 800 lines of PowerShell to get your domain controller set up. I'm like, or it's seven clicks in the GUI now. And, you know, when you're trying to get people to embrace it for the first time, seven clicks in the GUI is less daunting than run this 800 line PowerShell script.
Yeah. And not to change the subject, but at Ignite a couple of weeks ago, a bunch of people, podcast listeners and all that, came up and said, hey, and that was awesome. I tried to take pictures of as many of you as I could. But the question that I got most of all from anybody was, are you guys writing a 2016 book? I got that question so many times, which it made me feel good. Cause you know that every person who asked that question asked it because they bought our 2013 or 2010 book and it was valuable to them. So that was an incredible compliment, especially in this day of blog posts. And that's what I told them all. I'm like, you know, writing books is such a monumental task. And even back then, the shelf life for a tech book was way, way short. And now it's like weeks. I told one guy, I'm like, it takes probably 8 months from the time that you start a book till the time the first one gets published. And that's just way too long.
Yeah, and that's what one of the things, right? Because I do have that itch inside of me still to kind of share that same type of knowledge, right? How do you do a proper install? How do you set up X or Y? How do you do an upgrade? And so this time around, I thought, what the hell? That's why I've been doing the YouTube stuff. I've created the same exact content that we used to do in the book on YouTube because it's faster. And in theory, more people are going to consume it because while, you know, our 2010 books sold a whole bunch, you know, the 2013 sold less. And honestly, I think, you know, your mom, my mom, and four listeners are going to buy the 2016 book if we took the time to put it out, and that'd be it.
Yeah, it's just and even if a bunch of people bought it, I mean, even if it was the same number that bought the 2010 book, I would feel bad because if they bought it a year from now, I mean, it would be worthless. It would just be bad. It would be even worse information than it would have our 2010 or 2013 books were, because the stuff changes so fast. And they were all very, you know, they understood, but it did. It made me, every time somebody asked me, just made my little heart smile a little bit. Cause I'm like, this is another person who got value out of our books. And despite all the crap that Shane wrote, at least my stuff helped him out.
I'm not even going to respond. Not even worth it.
I will give you one little kudos. Somebody did come up and mention that the BI chapter in the 2013 book helped them get their BI stuff set up. I'm like, that is good because you don't understand how much whining I had to put up with from Shane when he wrote that 49-page monstrosity or whatever it was.
63. I remember very clearly it was 63.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who didn't get to hear Shane's rants and whines about writing that BI chapter, you missed out on a lot.
I bet all of it's changed. That's what scares me the most.
Oh yeah, none of it's, not even a bit of it's relevant.
I've thought about, like, maybe in my videos I'll do one on installing reporting services. I'm like, I don't know if I want to incur that level of pain in my heart again. So then keeping us rolling, I think the last thing on the Azure topic we had was, you know, Azure lower pricing is showed up again last week, and you know, it's that race to the bottom continues. I still stand by the statement I made 5 years ago, right? One day they're going to pay us to run stuff in the cloud. That's the only place it ends.
Well, and I thought at Ignite, I thought one of the keynotes, somebody like Scott Hanselman or somebody's like, we're done with the cuts. There are no more cuts. I thought that was a thing.
Yeah. And why would you cut it, right? I can't imagine that's an increasing adoption at all, right? At this point, I assume that everyone's accepted it. It's, you know, are you doing AWS or Azure is still a real question, but they're going to cost the same. So they should quit nickel and diming each other and leave the prices alone and let people make decisions on features.
Well, and I will tell you though, I set up some stuff in Azure for Ignite, the demos and stuff that I did, and I left those machines on and so I have an MSDN subscription, so I get $150 a month, and I burned through, I think I had one machine, a good size machine, mind you, but one machine, and burned through $100 in 2 weeks. So I wouldn't mind the prices going down just a little bit so I could, you know, leave that thing on for 3 weeks maybe before I run out of money.
Yeah, well, that was the whole impetus for the script stuff that we talked about, right? Because that's what I do. I wake up, I run the script to fire it all up, and then before I leave for the day, I make sure those things are all turned off because I can't afford to run them for more than a few hours. And one of the next series I want to do is like build a large scale Azure farm, you know, with all the minerals and high availability sets, actually build the mother load there. And I don't know if my $150 credit, even turning it off and on, is going to work. I honestly don't.
You'll turn it on and that little dollar thing in the corner will just zero and everything will.
So yeah, that's, I mean, I'm just being honest. So Microsoft, if you're listening, if you'd like to send me an unlimited account so I can make that video series, that'd be helpful.
Yeah. So I guess I would be in favor of the prices going down a little bit, or maybe the MSDN thing going up a little bit. I would use it more if there was a little more headroom.
Yeah. Well, I think the other big difference though, right, is we use infrastructure as a service for most of what we do. Yeah. Right. And they don't care about that. That's not right. That's not a primary focus, that workload. They're really after the PaaS-y stuff. And I bet $150 in the PaaS world goes forever.
Yeah. Or yeah, any of the different services. I mean, all the different, you're right. We're taking the shotgun approach, whereas other people are doing more targeted things. So yeah, that's. So you had a question for the audience on H there.
Yep. So one of the things I wanted to know, this is a kind of a viewer's question, those of you who are still listening, which is probably not a lot after all the antics that we've had so far. But, YouTube versus Channel 9, I'd love to get some feedback on, do you use both? Do you only use one or the other? Is it like, I watch cat videos on YouTube and I watch technical content on Channel 9. I don't know. I've been very curious about that here recently because I've been getting, Microsoft's given me the ability to post to Channel 9. And so I've thrown a couple of videos up there and it seems like some of the more, more technical content gets a lot more views out there than it is on the YouTube channel. And I just don't know if that was just dumb luck. It just hit the right thing at the right time. Or if, people really divide their lives that way. Am I overthinking all this? I would love any feedback you guys have got on YouTube versus Channel 9.
Yeah, that's a good question. I've thought about doing some videos for Channel 9, but honestly, I kind of thought it was the other way. In my head, YouTube's just the video platform and that's where I should put it. But it's interesting you put some stuff out there and it got better hit.
Yeah, well, the other fun thing, this is more for egomaniacs like us than other people, but so putting it on Channel 9, it also got syndicated. So there's some websites out there that steal Channel 9's content and put it on their own as their own content. Which, I should care, I should be upset about, but I'm not, because all my advertising, this is Shane Young with Bold Zebras, is in the Channel 9 in the video. So when they stole it, I still got all my advertising. So I don't care who steals it. But, I did the PowerShell for SharePoint, and like in the first day, it had, 70 views on Channel 9. Some weird site I'd never heard of stole it. They had 50 views that same day. So that's the other interesting thing as a guy who's trying to spread the message is maybe Channel 9 has a bigger reach, even though it has a smaller audience.
Yeah, good question. So yeah, I put that out there in the chat room. I'd be interested to hear about that. So you can email Shane or you can tweet Shane at Shane's Cows or tweet me and let us know where do you go for your tech videos? Where, if we could only put our stuff on one spot, where would you prefer it? Channel 9 or YouTube?
Yeah.
So we'll spend I think I is too big of a topic. We'll put off for next week. Jay, let's hit that one.
Jay, what's the big announcement? Elon Musk today, did that thing. He walked in and said, I'm gonna rile up the internet. Big announcement coming next week. Send.
Yep. Tesla's going to announce some hardware, something. And he's been very vague. Basically just said something you're not expecting, but we're going to do something big again.
Yeah, and that's the real poker, right? Something you're not expecting. Because you want to say, okay, so you're going to put a solar panel on top of the roof of a Tesla. But I'm expecting that. So now he needs to put solar panels on the wheel hubs or something like that.
Yeah, and really, how does Musk know what I'm expecting? I mean, you and I, we have some weird discussions and we talk about some crazy things. How does he know we're not expecting this?
Yep, well, never mind. Let's leave that alone. But yeah, it's... it'll be interesting. Because he did allude to the fact it will also be something with Solar City. So that's why I think we all go to the solar panels and
Yeah. And on a somewhat tangential note, just last week I was at a city council kind of meeting and they were talking about solar panels and all that kind of stuff. And, one of the guys in the audience, he was talking all about Elon's, the Powerwall and all that kind of stuff. It's made it everywhere. People were excited about it. And
people are talking about it in Iowa. It's definitely made it everywhere.
That's I mean, it was a small crowd, but everybody there knew and when he said the Powerwall, there wasn't anybody in the audience or on the, you know, anything that's like, what was that again? Everybody knew. They knew what it was.
Now, and you're still on the list, right? You're going to get one before me.
I'm on the list for three. Yeah, I've done that thing where I'm loaning Elon Musk $1,000 of my dollars because he seems like a guy that needs my loan, me and 400,000 of my closest friends.
Hey, he did. Speaking of his random tweets, he also did say today that they're not going to have to take any money in fourth quarter, whether raising new capital or additional debt. So if you're a stockholder, that's good news. Probably no one on the show cares, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I've got a couple shares just so I can, you know, say that I can complain. You know, it's that whole, you know, you can't complain unless you don't vote. Well, now I can complain because I'm a stockholder. Yeah, I would love to have that all electric car, that plug-in electric car. I would love to make that happen.
Very cool. I think it's time for shameless self-promotions.
Woo-hoo, we need theme music or something for this. No big changes from last week. We've got SharePoint Days in Slovenia in 2 weeks. I will be there. Audience, don't tell Shane, but this probably means he's going to be doing the show by himself on the 24th. But I will be at SharePoint Days Slovenia. That's October 24th and 25th. I'm not actually getting there until the 25th. Well, I'm getting there like the afternoon of the 24th. But I will be doing a session on Azure AD and a session on upgrading to SharePoint 2016. So be ready for those. If you're going to be at SharePoint Days Slovenia, by all means, come find me. Again, I'm a pretty friendly guy. Ask anybody that ran into me at Ignite. I'd love to chat. Love to hear how you're doing SharePoint, Office 365, and Azure, and all those things. And then I am hopping a plane in Ljubljana and flying up to Stockholm, Sweden for my yearly trek up to the Great White North and doing the IT Unity Connect SharePoint Exchange Forum up there on October 27th to 28th. So love to be up there. I've been to Stockholm, I don't know, 6 or 7 times. Great city, great audience, great everything. And I'll be doing the same sessions there. So yay for not needing to do two sets of prep work.
That is very nice. And is this my update that I'll be doing the show for you on the 31st as well? Should I?
I will be back. So one of those things when you have kids, you got to be home on Halloween. So I get back that Saturday night. So the SharePoint Exchange Forum is 27th, 28th. I fly back on the 29th.
Well, you better not have any jet lag.
Oh, I will be. So that I fly back on a Saturday and I land at like 5:30 and Jill has already signed us up to go to some Halloween party Saturday night. So as far as I know, I will be landing at 4:30 and then going to a Halloween party immediately dressed as a weary traveler, I guess. I don't know.
I'll say, God bless Jill's soul, because you're going to be a raging grade A poop hole. And it is not going to be good for her. If she doesn't divorce you, because I know the Todd Quint that will be tired and not want to be there.
You have no room to talk. I have traveled with your cranky, whiny patoot.
But I'm a barrel of sunshine when I'm home in the States. You'll be the jerk when you get back and you're not there.
Get out. No, I will be great. I will be very quiet. I think that will be the thing as I sit on a couch. I have no idea what this party is or what's going on, but yep, it'll be.
So speaking of not knowing what's going on, October 21st, I will be doing SharePoint Friday, Cincinnati. I do not know what that means. Apparently we're going to do like a spooky SharePoint Saturday, but on Fridays, so maybe that's the spooky part. Even worse news is that apparently Daniel Glenn will be there. So I got to put up with him in person. It'll be a bad day.
So who are the organizers? Is that something you can bribe and get him kicked out or?
I have a restraining order. So I'm assuming that kicks in at some point.
Oh yeah. So as long as you get there first. Yeah. You're in good shape.
So I'll be doing random admin stuff and then SharePoint on Azure. I'll go watch Neil's session before I do that, just to make sure I don't screw up.
Go to channel 9, download his slides. You can't go wrong.
It's never happened before. No one's ever done that ever in the history of the internet.
Yeah. You know, I used to get mad when people would steal our slides, but then I more just felt bad for them that if that was their best option, stealing our slides, they needed all the help they could get.
Especially our slides.
Ooh. I'm saying. So I've got this. I don't know if you've seen this or not. I've got an Azure AD slide deck where I'm talking about how things flow. And I couldn't get the damn arrow in Visio to point at the box. Have you seen this? So I couldn't get it going and I just said to hell with it. I left it. So I'm telling the story when I did it. Well, oh yeah. And the person's like, why didn't you just move the server in front of the arrow? I'm like, yeah, that would have been way easier.
what was that? Was that a SP TechCon, I think?
I think it was Boston, that? Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was, yeah, because I think I was distracted for like the next 15 minutes just trying to imagine this world where Todd could not operate Visio. I'm like, this is a guy that I've been partnered with for 10 years now. Yeah. And I'd always made the Visios. I guess I never realized that I'd always made all of our Visios.
Yeah, I could not get, and I've always been, I can never get those errors and those connectors. I can never get those to cooperate.
Well, I went to college for 5 years. You ever need Visio help again? The other, here's a Visio pro tip for everyone too. Visio does not have autosave turned on by default. You got to go turn it on. I have lost 4 hours of Visio work because freaking autosave was not enabled by default. So pro tip right there for those of you who are still listening.
I love that story. I want to hear that one again when we've got more time. Just that part, just the part of you losing several hours worth of work. Oh, it makes it all worth it. All right, everybody. We have gone way over. I apologize for that. So catch Shane in Cincinnati on the 21st. Catch me in Ljubljana, or I guess in Bled, that the conference is in Bled, Slovenia, or Stockholm. And we'll see you all next week where we'll talk about mystery topic I that we did not get to this week. That will be part of next week's show. Let the speculation begin. We will see you all next week.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.